focused in the city of Chicago, with these location for much that's been a turning point one way or the other in labor history, and some of the biggest battles in the history of the labor movement in the United States and worldwide. The struggle we're going to talk about has to do with a corporation called Mondelez and a product called Nabisco, which you probably know pretty well, pretty common household brand. They've been trying to get their workers, their unions, to make major, extraordinary, huge givebacks for the sake of fattening the profits of the corporation, the compensation of the executives, and threatening workers as leverage with moving these jobs out of the U.S. We're expecting to talk with the leadership of the union, which is called the BCTGM. What that stands for is Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers Union. So they represent bakers in Chicago, also here in Portland, who make Nabisco products, make Mondelez products, and have done that for many, many years. Right now we're waiting to get our guests on the line. They're doing bargaining, which obviously can, as many of us know, can get complicated, difficult, and mess up schedules. So hopefully that's all going well, and we'll be talking with our guest real soon here. Jamie?
The Nabisco workers in Chicago held a rally last night, February 21st, outside of the Nabisco plant to protest the outsourcing of hundreds of jobs to Mexico. They're facing a really uncertain future as the company has been handing out pink slips starting to move parts of their operations to Mexico. The parent company, Mondelez International, announced earlier this summer that it was eliminating 600 jobs from the factory, one of the largest industrial bakeries in the world there in Chicago. And the jobs are headed to Salinas, Mexico, where the company plans to invest $130 million to upgrade a facility there. These are the folks that make Chips Ahoy cookies, Wheat Thins crackers, Oreo cookies, and they plan to slash the company's 1,200 employee workforce by half. And last month they handed out pink slips to 277 workers.
It's also worth noting that this workforce is largely people of color. They're something like nine. Well, I think we have our guest on the line now. And if so, let's get our guest on the air.
How's it going, John?
Hey, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Is this Ron?
This is Jethro Head.
Jethro, right. Oh, great, excellent. Thank you. Jethro Head is the International Vice President of the BCTGM and the Union Chairman in Bargaining with Nabisco. Welcome to Labor Radio.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, John.
How about we get right to the point and talk about what Nabisco is doing to workers and communities of color in the city of Chicago?
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's get to that. So last year, your viewers should know we were called into a meeting there in Chicago in Mondelez, Nabisco. You know, they're better known as Nabisco. That's the brand name. And we were told that they were going to make a $130 million investment in four new what they call super ovens. And they would either put them in the Chicago bakery, or they will put them in Salinas, Mexico. But they told us that, you know, in order for them just to consider putting them in the bakery, not to consider, man, you putting them in the bakery, that we had to come up with $46 million in concessions in perpetuity every year. That was just ludicrous. You know, that would have slashed what the employees' wages and benefit package was by 60%. And we know that they couldn't make it off of 60% reduction in wages. So that's how it all started. And I think you were informing your members of the demographics of the bargaining unit. And the demographics of the bargaining unit is that well over 90% of the bargaining unit is over 40 years of age, and over 68% are minorities, African-American and Latino. And we think that we know that that's why Nabisco chose to downsize this particular facility.
So they're treating this facility, the Chicago plant, differently than other facilities?
Oh, absolutely. They've made similar investments in Richmond, Virginia, and Fairline, New Jersey, and did not ask the employees to contribute to the investment.
So tell us a little bit, Jethro, about the history of Nabisco on the southwest side of Chicago.
Well, we've had a bargaining relationship with that particular bakery for well over 50 years, had a great relationship with Nabisco. Nabisco was one of the best employers prior to Mondelez taking them over. You know, Mondelez was a spinoff of Kraft, and unfortunately that Kraft decided to load Mondelez with debt, and we've had problems with Mondelez ever since then. In that bakery, we make the iconic brands, Oreos, you know, Ritz crackers, premium crackers, and a lot of other products from Nabisco.
Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you two questions here, but the first part is just to say again, in terms of percent, how big a cut that is that the company was demanding from the workers in Chicago?
It's 60%. That's conservative, John. That's a conservative estimate of ours. That would have been a 60% cut. And, you know, that's really in stark contrast. You got to get this now. The CEO of Nabisco averages about $20 million a year. $20 million a year. And over the last 8 years, she's earned over $165 million. So check this out. She could have financed that investment and still took home $4 million a year, right? And that does not include her dividend. That does not include her pension. You'll be seeing us releasing her pension information really soon, maybe even later tonight or early tomorrow. They've put $32 million in her pension fund for her. So this is ridiculous. This is really, really ridiculous. They shouldn't be pitting us against Mexican workers. That is ridiculous.
How much do those workers in Mexico get paid?
The minimum wage in Mexico, if I remember correctly, is $4.58. And we've been seeking information, and we'll do this information. We have a what's called a ULP, an unfair labor practice charge against the company for not giving us information that we do on what they're paying those employees down there. And we want a contract because the problem, you know, John, this is the result of NAFTA. They're able to run and hide in Mexico and then sell product in the United States because of NAFTA. And according to NAFTA, The employees down there have to be able to freely associate with the union, and that's not what's happening in Mexico. So we're trying to get information about that. Now, what we're going to be doing in America, and we're starting in the city of Chicago, and we're going to move to some of the larger cities across the country, is we're going to start pushing country of origin labeling. We're going to let people know, you know, where the product is coming from, and we think a smart consumer will be a wise consumer. We're going to stop buying product from countries that we've lost jobs to.
So what is the, Jethro, what is the explanation that the company gives for this move?
John, I'm glad you asked that question. Now, if you hear crickets, then you'll know what the explanation is. We have none. So I guess you can infer that they asked us to give them $46 million. That maybe it was financial. But this is crazy. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Well, what kind of profit is Mondelez making on their investments at this point in history?
Oh, they're making billions and billions of dollars of profits. But you know, it looks like that they're a takeover prospect, or they're looking to be sold because they're having problems in Europe. They just sold their beverage business. And it looks like their Philadelphia cheese business and the grocery business is Europe is up for sale. So it looks like that they're trying to make themselves attractive to a seller, and that's part of the issue here.
So they're
attractive to a buyer.
Oh, so they're going to save money by shipping jobs to Mexico, make more profit and compensation for their CEO. Does that mean they're going to lower the price on their products for the consumers?
Oh, no. The price of the product will probably go up. And unfortunately for the workers in Mexico, they probably wouldn't be able to afford to even buy the products that they made.
Now, we know the union's fighting back. You've told us some of the pieces of that, but we've also been informed by looking at the news stories that there have been a legal proceeding or several undertaken. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yeah, I can tell you. Sure. We've done several things. So our position, and we have a strong position, that the transfer of work to Mexico is in violation of the contract. We filed a grievance on that, and the company is slow walking that grievance through the process. We've also filed grievances on the fact that the company is using subcontracting labor in the plant, and that's a violation of the contract, and we filed several grievances on that. and they're slow walking those grievances and refusing to agree to arbitrate them in an expeditious manner. So what we did was we went into federal court and we filed a lawsuit to enjoin the company to to have the court to invoke arbitration upon the company, and that's proceeding. We've also filed an unfair labor practice on them, too, for similar reasons, and because they haven't provided us with the information we need to process the grievances, which is a violation of the National Labor Relations Act.
And they're also...
John, so you'll know, we've also filed the our members, the employees of Nabisco there on South Kedzie in Chicago, about 450 of them have filed separate EEOC complaints that we have consolidated, and we're moving that through the process too. Age and race discrimination, it's the only explanation for what they've done.
So if any listeners don't know, EEOC stands for Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, just so everybody's...
That is correct, and we filed that here. We've actually filed it in Chicago.
Well, how about, besides the union, how about the neighborhood where the plant's located? How about the city of Chicago? Is there fight back happening there, too?
Absolutely. We've gained enormous support from the labor community. The alderman of the ward that the plant is in is one of our biggest supporters. He's been at our rallies. He's part of that video. You'll see him in that video. We're getting support from State Senator Jackie Collins and some of the U.S. representatives. It looks like... John, we're going to probably have a resolution from the city council of Chicago not buy Nabisco products that's coming from Mexico. So we're looking to do that. We're looking to get the mayor involved in it. We had a vigil this past Sunday night that was well attended by our members from Nabisco and the labor committee, in support of what we're doing to fight for American jobs.
Tell us a little bit, Jethro, about the impact on the neighborhoods surrounding the plant, on the families of the workers. I know that there was some testimony at the rally last night, the vigil last night, some of it which appeared on the news. Can you tell us a little bit about what the impact will be on the
sure.
workers'
so
families?
Let me just start off by telling you, and you probably hear this all the time, that the city of Chicago has supported Nabisco back in the 90s, gave them $90 million in tax subsidies, and this is going to have a devastating effect on the community. In Illinois alone, we've probably lost $20 billion from offshoring. And what happens is that we end up putting folks on some type of public assistance. They get unemployment benefits. They really tax the system. And most of those folks, they're right there in that area. So we're going to have a shrinking tax base and all of the multiple effects that we have, the domino effects that we have from that.
So besides the city and the neighborhood, how about the state and federal governments? Are they getting supportive in any way?
Well, in Illinois, we have a Republican governor now, Governor Rauter. And Senator Collins has challenged him to get involved in this. We're trying to get the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, involved, and we think we may have some success there. But we don't, because the state government is run by a Republican now, we haven't got any support from the governor.
Is there any support from the federal government or from your congresspeople, U.S. senators?
Yes,
or congresspeople?
We've gotten outstanding support from Congressman Bobby Rush. We're looking to try to get some support from Congressman Luis Gutierrez, and we're reaching out to other congressmen. But I tell you that Congressman Bobby Rush has really been in our corner and supporting our efforts.
And what is, just to put this in context too, what is the timeline as far as when the company's talking about laying people off, and what are we looking at as far as the urgency of all this stuff?
Well, that's a great question. They gave a 60-day notice a little over a month ago, so the first layoffs, around 277 of our members got what they call pink slips that will effectively lay them off on March 21st. So that's the timeline for the first round of cutbacks. They haven't announced any other rounds of cutbacks since then.
So most of us are consumers, and most of us like to buy stuff that tastes good. So what can we do as far as our buying practices that makes a difference in this whole situation?
So we're going to stop. We're going to become smart consumers, right? We're going to stop buying foreign-made products, especially products from the Nabisco that comes out of Mexico. So we're going to start our country of origin labeling campaign real soon. I don't want to get out in front of that, but I think if you look at some of the Nabisco products and you see a MM on them, then you'll know they come out of Mexico. And we're telling our consumers to be smart consumers and start looking at the labels and make sure that we don't buy products that's coming out of Mexico. But we'll get that campaign started, I think, probably in the next week or so.
Okay, so folks, it's kind of like the VIN on a car, right? You want to look for that number that identifies the product and start being educated about what the different letters and numbers mean.
Absolutely. You know, I kind of liken it to the auto industry when they went to domestic content. Remember, we used to look at those the stickers on the cars, and we'd see where the different parts come from, and we were smarter consumers, and we perpetuated, you know, Buy America. Of course, we want to perpetuate Buy Union, but we want to perpetuate Buy America, too. So that's the way I kind of look at it, John.
And you're trying to move legislation locally through the city to get the city of Chicago and, I suppose, the Chicago Public Schools and other public entities to refuse to buy product from Nabisco or Mondelez if they make this move?
Absolutely. We feel pretty good that we're going to get a resolution through the Chicago City Council to support us in our effort for the country of origin labeling, for them not to support any buying of any products that come from Mexico, buying of any Nabisco products that come from Mexico. And we have to be careful. I want to make sure everybody understands this. Some of the products that's made in Mexico is made in the United States, too. So we want to be really, really smart consumers. So when we start our country of origin labeling campaign, we'll tell you what to look for so you'll know what Nabisco products are coming out of Mexico.
We're going to take just a moment, remind our listeners that they're tuned in to KBOO Portland. And this is the Labor Radio Show. We're talking with Jethro Head from the BCTGM, the Bakers Union, about their struggle against the mass layoffs being threatened by Nabisco. And Jethro, coming back to the wider context for this, as you said earlier, this is all possible just because of NAFTA, or only because of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. So what is that pattern? What is this dynamic that's going on because of NAFTA?
Oh, we have this free trade between North America from Mexico to Canada, and companies can go set up shop in Mexico and then sell to us. So that's the problem. We're using manufacturing jobs, as everyone knows. And I tell you, I see this firsthand, John, because I travel a lot in the Midwest part of the country. I tell you, not only in Chicago, but in the smaller communities that I drive through, they're devastated by the loss of manufacturing jobs, just simply devastated. NAFTA has really crippled the manufacturing sector in the United States.
I've noticed in reading an article about this struggle that a news report that between 2001 and 2014, the number of people employed in Chicago manufacturing jobs has shrunk by nearly half.
Absolutely. And when you look at the video that we did, the 600 video, you'll see Governor Rauner in there making reference to the jobs, manufacturing jobs that we lost, and pledging to do something about it. And Senator Jackie Collins is challenging him to do something about that. You're absolutely right. And Chicago ain't alone. As I said, that is a pattern across the whole United States.
Indianapolis just got hit when Carrier announced the layoff potentially of something like 1,400 people as they move to Mexico for their production.
Absolutely. And if we don't stop it, if we don't start to fight back now, it will continue, right? So we wish our, you know, brothers and sisters at Carrier much success, and we hope that they're going to start a campaign just like we're doing here with Mondelez Nabisco in Chicago.
Now, at this point, the union's in negotiations with Nabisco, and you're the chair for the union side in those negotiations. I realize there's things you can and cannot talk about in that type of situation, but given that we also have a Nabisco plant right here in Portland, can you give us some picture of the atmosphere or the prospects for that negotiation?
Well, I'd just like to mention our committee person's name from Portland. His name is Cameron Taylor. He's doing a great job at the table with us. Yeah, I don't want to get into any details. We're into our second week of bargaining, and it's slow right now, John. That's not unusual in bargaining. We're going to keep the faith, and we're going to keep plugging away and hope that we can come to a settlement here. But let me tell you, if we don't come to a settlement, we're going to ratchet up the pressure on Nabisco. It's not going to stop. So I tell you, they can run, but they cannot hide. We will catch them, and we're going to bring justice to those workers in Chicago, and we're going to fight for those jobs. So we're fighting for American jobs. And remember, fightforamericanjobs.org. I also want to tell you about our other websites and for the Local 300. That's the local there in Chicago. You can catch them on Twitter, BCTGM_Nabisco. And then your Facebook is BCTGM Local 300.
What was that website again, the first one you mentioned?
Fightforamericanjobs.org.
Okay, so people can check out more information by going there.
Absolutely, that's our official site.
That's great. Thank you, Jethro. The Nabisco contract, I believe, expires at the end of February. Is that correct?
It expires February 29th.
29th. Has the company given any indications of the tactics it might use, such as perhaps a lockout, and what could be done to resist that?
Well, we don't know that they're going to lock us out, but they have hired a agency that deals specifically with providing strike services, so we know that they're preparing for a strike. And as I said, in Chicago, what they've done, they tried to undermine the integrity of our bargaining unit by bringing in about 60 subcontractors to intimidate, first of all, to perform our work, and then try to intimidate our members and undermine what we're trying to do.
Well, surprisingly, they're doing the same thing in Portland. It was reported in the Northwest Labor Press that they had the subcontractors brought in to shadow the workforce here at the Nabisco plant to watch how they were performing their jobs and giving the impression that they would take over if there were a strike or a lockout.
Right. We see that tactic with some of the employers. They'll bring in temps and have them to shadow our workers to try and unnerve our workers and to try to break their resolve. But our resolve would not be broken. We're going to fight to the bitter end for those jobs in Chicago, and for those jobs in Portland, for the jobs in Atlanta, Richmond, and Fairlawn, and Denver, too.
How many generations of workers, in the case of Chicago, where that plant's been there for a long time, I mean, people are probably in the plant who had their parents there, their grandparents there. What's that like as far as a generational?
Yeah, so you'll hear the term Nabisco baby, which simply means that their parent was working at Nabisco when they were born, and they became an employee of Nabisco. Now that's Mondelez. So that's really prevalent in that Chicago bakery. And I think you'll see several of those folks in the video. If your listeners would take the time to go to fightforamericanjobs.org and look at that video, you'll see several of our members who are Nabisco babies in that video. And you know something, John, I actually worked for Nabisco myself. I've been out of the plant. I left the plant July 1st, 1984. And when I left the plant that I worked in, which was the old Curtis Candy Company, it was owned by Nabisco. So I actually worked for Nabisco myself.
Besides the, you mentioned the website and the video, which people definitely should check out, but there's also a petition on there, right?
There's a petition. And we asked all your listeners to sign that petition. You're absolutely right. Thanks for mentioning that, John.
Yeah, and that goes once again to the person we mentioned earlier, the CEO who could afford to finance this equipment individually rather than having 600 plus people lose their jobs for it.
Now I feel really well. You got my message. That's exactly right. She could have financed that and still been living house to hog, $4 million a year. That doesn't include her dividend payout, which I think was $3.3 million last year.
I think I could probably live on $4 million a year if I stretched it.
I think we could live on that, and we probably could, you know, support our families and probably our sisters and brothers, all kind of folks.
Nabisco, the plant in Chicago, has actually provided good middle income union jobs with decent wages, benefits, retirement for generations, and particularly for the whole black population that moved up from the South in the from the time of the First World War, and was able to that whole generational employment at Nabisco has really built the black community in the Southwest Chicago. This would have a devastating impact on that community, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, a devastating impact. John, as you know, that during the World War II, we had a lot of migration of African Americans from the southern states to the northern states to work in the factories. And, you know, some of our senior folks, seniority would date back to the 50s and 60s when we started migrating up. And you're absolutely right. That was the path to middle-class life for African-Americans, Latinos, and whites. You know, it was, you know, we could get a high school education and go into the factories and make a decent living, get a pension, raise our children, send them off to college, they'll do better than we do. That dream is slowly slipping away because of the conduct and the greed of companies like Nabisco, the greed of CEOs like Irene Rosenfeld. It's a damn shame to be so greedy. You know, it's amazing, the greed of folks. They don't care about the suffering of others as long as they can live in opulence and excess.
And they're particularly targeting the African American and Latino communities of Chicago. They're not doing this in the other plants across the country where the there isn't such a high concentration of minorities. They've actually made these capital improvements, put in this new equipment, and haven't demanded that the workers pay for it.
Yeah. So we say that this doesn't pass the common sense test, right, Don? So we go to Richmond, Virginia. They put this line in there. No problem. We go, and it's about a similar investment, you know. We go to Fairlawn, New Jersey. They put the land in there, similar investment. But when it comes to Chicago, so no, we're not going to put this land in here unless you finance the land going in. That is ludicrous. You know, it's $130 million. If we were spending $46 million out of our, you know, wages and benefits, we would have paid for the land in less than 3 years, right? But we'd be paying for it out of our wages in perpetuity. It's ludicrous what they do. They ought to be ashamed of what they do. It is damn shameful, and it's got to stop, and we're going to fight it.
And you're going after using charges of racial discrimination and age discrimination with the EEOC and also with a lawsuit. Is that correct?
With the EEOC and with a grievance. We have a grievance filed. Mm-hmm. That was the precipitating reason why they chose that plant to send that work to Mexico. So that's part of our grievance, and we feel we have a strong grievance. And like I said earlier, the company, we actually requested, say, hey, look, this grievance has been processed. Let's just agree to expedite it and get an arbitration decision. And they said no. And if they felt that they were right, why wouldn't they just go ahead and arbitrate the grievance? So local 300's attorneys went into federal court to seek to have the company to honor the grievance and expedite it to arbitration.
We're just about out of time. How about if you tell our listeners once again what that website is so people who want to get more involved can do that?
Absolutely. So go to our website. That's fightforamericanjobs.org. You can follow Local 300 on Facebook, BCTGM, Local 300, Twitter, BCTGM_Nabisco.
And is there something you'd like to say as a message for people to go away with from the discussion we've had about this whole situation?
I'd like to just say to everybody that's listening, your listeners, that Martin Luther King said that no one can ride your back unless it's bent.
Okay. We want to thank you. We want to thank all the sisters and brothers at Nabisco, everybody in this struggle, because you're fighting for us. Not only for yourselves, you're fighting for us. We know that our jobs could be next. In many cases, already happened to a lot of people, as you say, throughout the Midwest, and not just the Midwest, throughout the country. And by the way, if they get away with this in the U.S., then in a little bit, maybe next decade, they'll be doing the same thing in Mexico, moving those jobs someplace else from there. So we know it's not just this time and this place. It's a struggle for everybody and throughout the working class. So thank you very much for your fight. We wish you much success, and we're hoping people will get connected with you and be in support.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Good night.
And you've been listening to That About Does It for Labor Radio tonight here and every Monday night from 6 to 6:30 of The Working Class by The Working Class for The Working Class. I'm Jamie Partridge with John Walsh, co-hosts, and thanks to our engineer, Danielle Parks.
Thank you very much for listening. Tune in again next week. Stay on the air or on the air with us for Prison Pipeline following us. Thank you very much.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KABU Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Pan-African Film Series hosted by the All African People's Revolutionary Party. The film this month is The Fall of Libya, showing Wednesday, February 24th at 6 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Student Union in Room 329. The Fall of Libya is a short documentary of the role of imperialism played violently and illegally overthrowing the democratically elected Libyan government in 2011. Again, that's The Fall of Libya, Wednesday, February 24th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Memorial Student Union in Room 329 at Portland State University, 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. Again, that is 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad,